coming on Thomas's Stag.
What? Will I be what? Where?
Will you be coming on Thomas's Stag?
Thomas's Stag.
Yeah.
Thomas.
Yeah, that's Connor Halley's real name, Thomas.
Oh, Thomas's Stag. Yeah. When is it?
Well, the date's yet to be determined, but we're just deciding that when he does eventually have a stag, we're taking the show on the road. So we're just asking you if you're coming.
Okay, well, possibly. Brent Sick is not allowed to be there, though, because the last time I went on a stag, for some reason I ended up in Brent Sick's shirt with my sleeves ripped off. So... that will be dependent on whether I go or not.
It was a Metallica shirt, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I was happy to swap him and have the Metallica shirt, and then he ripped the sleeves off of his own shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So. He's passionate about his music.
I do remember you walking around Cook County with the sleeveless Metallica shirt.
Wow.
Oh, that was
and
classic.
I seem to recall having your back and you ending up with a decent shirt to wear yours was no longer wearable.
No, you lent me your shirt. That was very nice of you. It was
you
very
were
nice
in need
of you.
Of a shirt on your stag, and I stepped up for you.
And I think I gave it back to you 2 years later.
Yeah, you did. Nicely pressed.
Well, yeah, that's true. I did. I got a dry clean. That was nice.
Sleeves intact.
The Edmonton Oilers right now, hey, they could walk around shirtless in Cook County, and Oiler fans would be quite excited. They're 4-0. As Dave Tippett said, was not the greatest game by any stretch, but for the third time in four games, they managed to tie the game and then get a victory late in the third period. And, you know, you look at this team, and it's early, of course, but they're showing a lot more signs of being able to stay in games.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, anytime you can battle your way back when you're not playing your best and find a way to grab not just one but 2 points on a night where you probably outplayed and where the other team probably found its better game, you know, it doesn't really matter how you do it, whether it's your goaltender stands on his head, and I thought Koskinen was excellent for them, or whether it's you get a ton of points from your two or three best players, or whether it's your whatever it is, whatever the formula is on any given night, to be able to figure out a way to get it done when you're not playing your best, that's really positive for a team. So those are some good early signs for the Oilers. You don't want to go too long before they put another good performance on the ice like they did a couple of games ago against the Islanders, but you're not going to bring your best stuff every single night. So, yeah, some really good early signs. They get down in games and they don't stop working. They get down in games, their body language doesn't change. They battle their way back. Now, let's see them, you know, three goals down halfway through a game and see if they can find it in themselves to get back into it. It's early, but some good signs. I agree.
Ryan Ashok from TSN joining us. So I ask you, do you think Tippett goes with Koskinen or Smith tomorrow?
Well, it all boils down to rest, and I'm a little bit torn on this. We were talking about it this morning, and I think based on the performance and the competition between the two guys, you got to reward Koskinen for playing so well, and you got to go back to him and get him in. The issue is the tight turnaround, and you would have numbers, and you would have some stats on guys and some percentages that might win the day over what your conventional logic, hockey logic, might be in the moment. So do they have data that shows on less than 48 hours, you know, less than 2 days between games? You know, I know workload was an issue with Koskinen last year. Quality came out of his game if he played too much. So just strictly hockey logic, I would say go back to him, but there might be extenuating circumstances and numbers that push them back Smith's way. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on it because I'm with you. I thought Koskinen played quite well last night. And, you know, in both his games, I think he's been solid. Not that Mike Smith was poor, but if I had to grade the two, I think overall in 120 minutes, I've liked Koskinen's 120 minutes a little bit better than Smith's. Not a massive amount, but a little bit better.
No, but that was the best. I mean, even compared to opening night, I would say that was the best performance of the year so far by a goalie, right? Even Smith's really good performance opening night. I think Koskinen last night was as clutch. So, you know, I think he set another bar here for the two of them.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, I can understand Dave Tippett saying, you know what, hey, we'll go back to Smith. Like, you know what, he didn't lose a game, and we don't want him sitting out too long. Koskinen did sit out 10 days between his starts. And so Smith, if he doesn't start this Saturday, I would guess it would be Monday. That would be 9 days. So, you know, I think it's a good situation to have. The other one is, do you think Chiasson or Archibald, either one, gets in the lineup tomorrow?
Yeah, now what were we seeing? I thought I saw a few tweets here a short time ago talking about that. I think it might have been our buddy Jack Michaels tweeted something about what their bottom six was looking like. So I'm not sure if you saw that tweet as well. Obviously, the guys that are on the road following the team that are there with them are getting a little bit more up to date. Looks like depth lines for Rangers, maybe Granlund, Haas, Chiasson, Kara, Shea, and Archibald.
So Nygaard and Russell out.
Yeah, yeah. So Nygaard and Russell potentially come out. And I'm okay with Nygaard coming out. I think he doesn't need to be an every-night guy. I think he's confident in his own zone and on the boards. I've been talking about this a little bit the last week or so, that there's some things you like about him in the neutral zone and the offensive zone, but in his own end, he's having a little bit of trouble being consistent and keeping his game where it needs to be. So I don't think he has to be an every-night guy. And I think it's okay to change a winning lineup if you barely squeak by. I think it's okay to say, yes, we won the game, and I know Strebs hates this. Yes, we won the game, but didn't love the way it went, so we're going to tweak things and make sure that we bring a better game next time.
Yeah, 100%. Like, Tippett, I agree with him. It wasn't their best game last night. There are certain times, though, like, there's just things in the Oilers game that I see now. They're ability to support each other in the offensive zone and how close they play, where if a guy loses a puck, I found their ability to get the puck back has increased significantly this year. And subtle plays like Ethan Bear's play that led to the Draisaitl goal. I chuckle sometimes when people talk about, well, second assist don't mean anything. I'm like, well, in this case, the fourth assist might be the best play because it started with him separating the puck, coming up, you know, he looks off the forechecker, dumps it off to McDavid, and then they're off to the races. Like, that was a fantastic play by Bear.
Bear's showing real calm under pressure. And that's a really good sign, having a defenseman who can, you know, take a forecheck, still get his head up, identify a couple of options, and make a smart play rather than just whipping it down the ice or throwing it away. We're not seeing the types of giveaways that you would normally see from a younger defenseman being pressured, who doesn't have a lot of NHL experience. He's either making neutral plays, which is just not making a mistake, or he's making positive plays. And he's had a couple, like the one you talk about. And he looked up, identifies people coming at him, quick little step to the middle of the ice. You know, and he's had a couple of middle outlet passes, too, that are just bang on. Really, really good signs for how well he's handling things in the early going. And, I mean, we're into four games now where he has been really good, noticeably good, better than I think anybody would have expected him to be at the start of training camp.
Oh, he's been a revelation, really. I thought he'd be improved, but and the great part about Bear is he's just been very honest about how he said, I found out how to work to be an NHL player.
Yep.
And I think that's something we might overlook at times. Like, you can be working hard at 19, 20, but working hard to be in shape in the AHL is just so much different than the NHL. Like, Bear is so much quicker all over the ice, and he says he's got the strength and the stamina now. Like, he played 23 minutes last night and didn't look bad at all.
Yep. No, I agree. He looks good. I've never had a problem with the way he moved out there. I've always felt like skating was a strength for him. I've always felt that way. So, yeah, no, he looks really good. And I think, you know, I mean, it's early, and we keep saying that it's early, but I think one of the things is you look at the lineup and you look at the players that they have in there contributing for them. I think you have to give some credit where credit is due. And I think, you know, the scouting staff, both amateur and pro of the Oilers over the years, has taken a pretty good beating, and rightfully so on a lot of occasions. But when you look at some of the players that they players that they've drafted who are now in their development system, and these defensemen that they have that were chosen that are now creating so much upward pressure. And even some of the guys that they went out and found, their pro scouts went out and found, you know, European players that they've brought in that look to be close to NHL ready. And it's like found money when you find these guys and can bring them in. Even a guy like Riley Sheahan. I mean, I know Ken Holland would know him well, but still, you talk to your people in your organization, you make these organizational decisions, and they've made a bunch of decisions that have armed their organization with players who look close or look ready. And it's creating this competition, so you got to give credit where it's due. And the scouting staff's had a lot to do with bringing these people in.
It's been a good start, a much better start, and could be the best start in franchise history since 1985, which is crazy when you think about it, if they're able to get a victory.
At what point do we have to stop saying it's early, do you think? Like, how many, and I'm not talking about just rattling off wins,
yeah.
But once the team gets to the 10-game mark, do we stop saying that, you know, it's early? And if they're 8-2 or whatever, 7-3, whatever they are, when is it not early anymore? I'm just asking for a friend.
Nah.
I feel like I'm saying it five times a day when people ask me about the Oilers.
It's a fair question. For me, honestly, the things that I see in their game, like their team speed, I don't think is suddenly going to change. I think their system and the big advantage is they've got 97 and 29, right? Like that, those two and their ability, you have a chance every night. And their supporting cast is better right now than it has been in the past, or at least playing better. And, you know, obviously James Neal's on a roll that, you know, never seen before in this city and in a lot of cities. So I was one of the few who thought the Oilers would make the playoffs, but obviously I didn't think that they would be this good out of the gate. But their team speed, I thought, was noticeable in preseason and training camp. And that to me has continued. Their attention to detail all over the ice is probably the one thing that has come along quicker than I thought it would.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. And, you know, will the D hold? That's the thing.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, Ethan Bear is playing really, really well. Joel Pearson's still in the first few games of his career, and sometimes you're just running on adrenaline. And as you really get in there against high-end competition, that's where there can be some cracks and fissures in the armor. So we'll see. That's, to me, the biggest thing that needs to – the biggest question is if that D is going to be able to hold here through 6, 8, 10, 12 games – rather than just, you know, they've been a strength so far, but I would say they're outplaying kind of the sum of their parts right now.
Chugger, have a good weekend. Big Saturday, a double dip, Eskimo fans. After that, quickly on the Eskimos, Connor asked this question earlier. What has to happen for the Es to get a win tomorrow?
I think that Kilgore needs to play, I think he needs to limit the big mistakes, play a really good, solid game, take what's there and be confident but not get overly aggressive. There's a patience that he's looking for in his game. I was chatting with him for a little bit today. So I think they need to limit the turnovers and he needs to play a little bit more of a patient game. I think that they've still got good players. They're banged up, but that's still in large part a defense that was real good for a big chunk of this year. I think this is a game that they can take. It's just they need steadiness back there. And I think if they get steadiness, they'll have a real good chance.
We will chat with you on Tuesday. Have a great long weekend.
Okay, pal.